This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
All right, 305 on DGS. Hancock and Kelly hanging out. Thank you guys for hanging out. Appreciate you.
Happy to be here with you.
I mean, I know you're not doing it for nothing, but I still appreciate you.
Like Survivor over here. Ranji was here, and he's gone.
Junior's gone.
Right?
They're shrinking.
I'm going next hour.
Michael's like, I got one more segment, and I'm out of here. I got stuff to do.
No, I'm with you guys till the end. Let's do it.
We got a whole bunch left. I mean, we're going to talk a little college football, but Mizzou specifically with Howard Richards.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
He's so great. Yeah. First of all, just a fun dude. But
fascinating guy.
Yeah, yeah. The whole CIA background, but also just a great dude. And it's great when, you know, I'm happy for people like Howard, for longtime Mizzou fans and their alums, when Mizzou gets to this level where they're really, really good.
Oh, why don't you guys tell the good people out there who hire Howard, what's his last name?
Howard Richards?
Yeah, is.
Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, you're not a sports guy.
Yeah, who is he?
He's color commentator for the Missouri Tigers.
Oh, he's Mike Kelly's.
Yeah.
Well, he and I are going to reconnect then.
We got a few things. So we got Dave Murray's going to join us, give us the weather at 3:30. Howard's going to be with us at 4:05. Really looking forward to that. And we got a bunch of other things we're going to mix in as we go. I wanted to throw this at you guys because I bring this account up. I bring these people up a lot on DGS because I love this historical perspective.
All right.
Okay. So there's a podcast and a Twitter account called the Pessimist Archive.
Yeah.
And what they essentially do is it's a bit of a send up on modern society because of our panics, right? We always have a technological panic, or we have we're freaking out about something new. And what they do is they go back into history and find old newspaper articles and things of people panicking about other things in previous eras that we now would see as ridiculous.
Right.
But at the time, people were freaking out. So the one I saw yesterday made me laugh because of what we're doing right now. We're talking on the radio. This was a newspaper article from 1926 that said radio is to blame for, quote, all business decline in New York.
Whoa.
So businesses were in decline. They were having a rough economic period, and they blamed radio because people were they were spending too much time listening to the damn radio and not working.
Yeah, productivity was down.
Yes, and this has been that theme. We'll blame it now on TikTok. We'll blame it on social media, on video games, whatever. We will always blame something. When the NCAA tournament rolls around,
I just was
going
to say the same thing.
Lack of productivity because of the NCAA tournament. And the fact of the matter is, we humans have always been this way. We always freak out about what's new. So I've seen that same story with novels. Kids are reading too much. They're not working enough. It's ruining their perspective on the world because all they're thinking about is the fantasy world of their stupid novels. And now, if someone says, my kid's reading books, loves to read, people are like, whoa!
Wow. Yeah.
That's great!
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me that I think it's totally rational that people have those initial thoughts.
Well, change is always tough.
But what I don't get is how come we just don't pay attention to the fact that it's always been this way and maybe we shouldn't freak out.
Yeah, but the unknown is scary. And now I remember right before COVID happened, or when COVID was happening, right? It had emerged in China and, of course, in Europe. And it was about a week before we were going to close down in the United States. We didn't know what that meant. And John Brown was our moderator on television, and they had some wet wipes and stuff. And you guys said, were kind of making fun of me about blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
And at the time, I didn't know. I truly believed that it would be like Ebola or something and that it would kill us. And I have to tell you, I'm extremely concerned by this. I don't know if I'm lumping this all together, but this AI/robot conversation together, because my brain can't fathom how we will reconcile it as human beings. That, in fact, we may be able to create something that might ultimately kill us. My brain just can't fathom how we would be able to stop that. So I think it's a natural reaction.
It is. But what to me is I find puzzling and sometimes frustrating is our lack of willingness to reflect on the fact that this has happened before and it was fine. Remember Y2K, when the internet was formed, it was like, oh my God, this is going to be the end. In fact, we had a story, we played the audio last week maybe or the week before, a BBC story, news story from 2004, and it was all about how dangerous and scary Wi-Fi was. Wi-Fi is going to kill everybody. It's giving everybody cancer. You can't be too close to
it. Oh, the radio waves out there, the brain cancer.
Yeah, and, there, and then obviously we had the whole 5G thing, that whole conspiracy theory. Like we've always done this. And every innovation, when automation first came in, well, no more jobs for anybody. Well, guess what? Automation's been around for how long? 100 years, 150 years? And there's people like we are the most adaptable species on the planet. There's a reason we run the planet. And I told you guys this earlier, right? I jokingly say it's because we're super smart and we're super mean. We're super smart. We're super violent. We kill anything that opposes us. And we even kill each other when we oppose each other. Like there is nothing more deadly to the human species than human beings. Yet we're always afraid of other things.
Yeah, I throw selfishness in there, too. Selfishness is a big part of our survival.
I mean, why did we... Why,
well, you
I
have
mean,
to be, right? Yeah. I mean, I think it's a natural instinct.
It's what drives the economy.
It's wired into us.
Yeah.
Survival, right? It's all about your survival instinct. And like Glover said this the other day, he says this kind of thing pretty regularly. Like, how did we, our species, Homo sapiens, how did we beat out Neanderthal? Neanderthal was stronger than us. They were bigger than us. They were as smart as we were. We were meaner.
Yeah.
Maybe smarter. But I mean, like, the whole point is we're here for a reason. It's because we adapt and because we'll kill.
Yeah, gunpowder.
I mean, we invented that too. And again, so I'm not saying that I agree with you, Michael. I have concerns about AI.
Yeah.
But I also know that we have the ability, if we start to act in advance instead of waiting until after the fact, to put some guardrails on to make it so that it's not going to, you know, be the end of the world.
Great conversation. And here's what concerns me about that conversation now, and maybe this is what it was back when they were saying radio was ruining the world. Because I don't know what the answer is. I don't think even the people who've invented AI and these robots know what the answer is, but they know they've probably in the same way that Oppenheimer felt, oh, man, I've opened Pandora's box and there's no putting this genie back
in. It's a great example.
It's a perfect example.
And so,
and how's that gone for us, do you think? The unlocking of the atom.
I don't think it's great.
But has it? So it's obviously what it was used for during World War II was clearly terrible, destructive. But the argument is that it actually saved other lives. Like there would have been more dead had you not used it.
Sure.
That was the argument. And has that as a deterrent prevented future massive battles that we saw during World War II? I mean, it is the one that would be the reason. If there's never a war between the U.S. and Russia or the Soviet Union back in the day or the U.S. and China, it's because of that. If you didn't have that, we would be probably dealing with those kinds of armed conflicts.
Well, I know that I'm never going to be able to split an atom, but I bet in my lifetime I'm going to own a robot.
Yeah.
I bet we're all going to own a robot. You know, I mean, it's just.
Got one now.
What's the vacuum cleaner?
Roomba.
Roomba.
Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
Does it work at nighttime or all day?
She'll work anytime you want her to work.
You got to program the robot.
Really?
Yeah. You want her to vacuum the rug at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Does it do a good job?
She does a fine job. I mean, it's not as good as I am.
Does she ever get caught in a corner?
She gets caught under the couch on occasion.
See, I don't want that in my house because I'll be the guy sleeping at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sometimes
like, what is that noise?
Well, you set it so that it doesn't do that.
It's kind of like an Easter egg hunt some mornings. You get up.
Where's the Roomba?
Where is it? You know, is it in here?
What's the guard dog think of the Roomba? Huh? What does the guard dog think
of
the
Roomba? Well, he sleeps upstairs.
Yeah.
So, Roomba's busy on the main floor.
I get you.
In the morning?
Yeah.
So, like, what if AI is essentially this generation's atomic bomb? Or atomic energy, maybe. Because energy can be a bomb.
Right.
And it can also power a neighborhood or a big city, which is obviously part of what nuclear energy is being used for. if AI has dangers, which it does, it has very clear dangers, right?
Right.
I mean, we can't tell reality from fake sometimes, and AI is not going to make that easier, although the AI could also help detect the fakes as opposed to the real thing. But what if having that type of intelligence solves problems
we can't solve? I think it's going to. I mean, I think, you know, this weight loss stuff we have right now, it's only going to get better as they get the computers onto this stuff.
How about if it cures cancer?
But at the same time, you talk about the atom bomb being something that opened up, et cetera. The access to that was limited to only a certain few.
Yeah.
And so the regulators, if you will, the United Nations, the individual countries who had it, we're a finite amount of stuff. We're about to open something with this AI where your neighbor's going to have it. The guy that's got a couple screws loose down
they're going to have access to it.
Right.
They're not going to have it. Nobody's going to have their own invented AI.
And then we're relying on a bunch of 90-year-old people in the United States Senate to be the regulators of something. I'm not even sure these people fully grasp cell phone technology, much less AI.
This is why we need age limits, and I'm not even kidding.
No, age limit's a bad idea.
I mean, I if you can't operate a cell phone, I don't want you making laws about AI.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but...
But I got to tell you right now.
By the way, if you're 90 and you know that stuff, wonderful. You can make laws.
But here's what's scary is when the head of Google is sitting on 60 Minutes saying, we've created this. We don't know what to do. We think you all ought to come up with a solution. Well, wait a minute, dude. You need to be a part of this solution because I can promise you that Josh Hawley and, Dick Durbin don't know how to deal with AI. You're the person who invented it, and you're telling us this is our problem?
Well, I think that's the really interesting part, is how does the highly partisan divide play into regulating AI? Because if you're looking at it simply, which would be rational, logical, practical, not political, it should be pretty easy to try to put limitations on, saying if you have, you know, this is artificial intelligence, this is how it is defined, if it is used for these purposes, it's against the law, you will be prosecuted and punished, and you go from there. But we probably won't even be able to agree
I think we will.
You think so?
Well, if you just look at the politics right now of all of the social media space and everything like that, it's remarkably bipartisan. You look at the reaction to TikTok.
Okay.
It's remarkably bipartisan. And I think the AI is likely to have a very similar construct.
Well, they better hurry up.
You got situations where Josh Hawley and Sherrod Brown of Ohio are on the same page on a lot of these issues. So I'm less concerned about the partisan divide when it comes to AI. And it's like anything else. You know, guns are legal, but there's certain things you can't do with a gun.
Right.
So, and if you do some certain things with a gun, as long as you got an actual prosecuting attorney in place, you're going to go to jail. and so that's kind of the prism that I'm looking at this through.
We noodled this a little bit, and if I'm winding us down a wrong path, then stop me. But ChatGPT, which I think is the easiest manifestation of AI that you and I could see.
It's the simple, on the street version.
I've never done it.
Yeah,
John
and
I made jokes the other day.
Yeah, I've done it.
We didn't even know where to go.
Yeah.
But now, since that conversation yesterday, I was out last night and I've asked everybody, have you done AI or have you done ChatGPT? And to a T, I was with a lawyer. I was with a pharmaceutical drug.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be as important as that cell phone.
Yeah, I agree.
None of them had done it. Then I talked to a bunch of my nieces and nephews. It is the number one issue in schools.
Absolutely.
They are all doing it, and I'm thinking, holy cow, I'm going to be the guy with the VCR. Remember when your parents couldn't program the VCR?
Yeah.
That's us.
I'm not.
Right,
I'm going to be in
this AI. These kids know it.
Yeah.
We better figure this out. I don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be the modern guy?
I don't want to be the guy who says, I'm not doing email. It's a phase.
Yeah.
I'll never put a phone in my car.
You just got to dive
in,
man.
My life is blah, blah, blah.
You just got to embrace it.
But I
will say, though, this is a natural progression, right? Because when we were in school, our age group, when you had homework, you had to do your homework.
Right.
You can Google homework when you're at home now. And that's been the truth for a long time.
Yeah.
So this type of, to me, the AI part and the ChatGPT part is just an extension of that same concern that's already been there.
You guys ever have to use the card catalog at the library?
But you know what it's going to do, though?
Decimal.
It's going to change how we evaluate learning. Because if it becomes where homework is pointless because you can just fake it, if it becomes where term papers are pointless because you can fake them. Now, keep in mind, there are also going to be AIs that detect fakes.
Yep.
And they're going to be as prevalent as the ones doing fakes or allowing you to plagiarize.
I hope you're right.
And the other part of it would be, well, then we just go back to in-person testing everything.
So what are we going to do? I guess I'm playing into that fear. Are we just going to give each other tattoos, back rubs, and feed each other? I mean, because what jobs are we going to do if we have the computers that are going to tell us how to do everything?
Somebody has to take care of the AI overlord.
I thought that was Hal. I thought that was Hal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hal was a bad dude.
Yeah.
Joining us coming up in a few minutes. He'll tell us about the weather, and then we'll talk about a few other things there as well. Normally, we do some headlines there. I didn't put any headlines together, so I'll just make some stuff up. And
well,
talk.
You had that marriage thing you wanted to talk about.
I might throw that at the group with Dave here next segment.
Right.
Yeah. It was a Twitter thread, and I won't read the whole thing, but it's fascinating.
All right.
It's a fascinating way of, I don't know, I don't want to give too many details, but a woman was giving marital advice about she thinks she handled something really well and saying this is probably a good way for you to handle your relationship. Whether you are the husband or the wife, it's really kind of irrelevant. And I think what she did by putting it on Twitter actually did the opposite.
All right.
I'll explain that.
Can't wait.
We'll do that after the weather. I just want to bring this up because we're talking about perspective and not understanding things. And earlier today, we were talking about how young a country we are compared to European nations and really every other major, civilization. We are just really young. Guy named Jesse Kelly is a political guy, right-wing guy who's tweeting about this over there. He's put out a tweet this week and they got a lot of attention. And it was essentially that, I've seen the art and architecture in other parts of the world, in Europe, and I'll put ours here in the United States up against everybody's.
Merck.
And in the background of his tweet, the picture of the Statue of Liberty.
He hasn't been joking, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, come on.
Because everybody was like, this has to be parody, right?
Right.
Like, we all know the Statue of Liberty was made by the French for us, and he was given to us. So, yes, it's an American icon, but we didn't make it.
Yeah. Right.
Which would make it, I mean, but isn't that kind of the ultimate 2023 America? Like, we just say dumb things when they're, you could have pointed to all of the architecture in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, or some big tall glass building, the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
You could have been like, place like it in the planet.
I mean, we were the...
You picked the one thing that comes from Europe.
Weren't we the innovators as far as, like, the great high-rises and all that?
Scraper.
Like, everybody else has them now, but we were kind of the ones that led the way, the Empire State Building and eventually Sears Tower. And yeah, they've been surpassed, but that we kind of led the way on that.
Sure.
But, like... I am very proud to be from the United States. I enjoy it. I love it. But I didn't do anything to earn it. It's not an
earned
thing.
No, you were lucky.
I was lucky to be born here, and I am very appreciative of that. If I were not, I would no longer live here. I could
live
somewhere else, and I'd be totally comfortable, but I don't want to. Right. I like it here. But we don't have to create a fairy tale to be happy and proud of where we live. We don't have to be the greatest at everything and the best of everything. It's okay to say, you know what? Because when I've traveled, I've been to Europe. I've seen things. I'm like, we don't have that here. We don't have some of those things.
There's a reason we're called the New World.
Yes, and it's okay. We have our own things, and we can be happy about that, but we don't need to have this, like, comparison.
All right, two things that came up there. Number one, when you say we don't have to be the greatest, do you guys remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Stuart Smalley and Michael Jordan?
Yes.
It's okay if you can't jump higher than everybody else.
Shoot the basketball better.
Everybody else is better at
you. I think he said throw the basketball.
But you had mentioned earlier that you'd been to Paris.
Oh, yeah, but it was when I was in high school. Yeah.
Did you see the Statue of Liberty, which I think they call it some other version of it, but the smaller Statue
of
Liberty?
Yeah, I saw the little one.
So they're was something I saw. I had no idea when I was a kid, when I was there. I had no idea that there were two of them.
Yeah.
So I remember being in Paris and they were explaining it to us. And I was like, what, does every country have one of these? But it's pretty cool, right? It's there in the middle of the, Seine River or whatever.
Yeah,
the
La Seine,
river.
Yes.
Yeah, Seine.
And it's
small.
It's just interesting to me that, we get defensive about it, but why? Who cares?
Exactly.
We like what we like. If someone does, I use music as an example all the time, because I like music that a lot of people don't like. I like really heavy metal. I don't care if nobody else does. It doesn't, I don't have to defend it. I don't have to say, John, it's so much better than ragtime. You have no idea. I don't care if anybody else agrees, but yet when it comes to, those things, we feel like we have to, prop ourselves up. You know, guys, we're winning. We're good. We're already doing well. We don't need to.
Couldn't possibly be better than ragtime.
Coming up on 3:35 on DGS, Dave and Rachel and Andrew all out. They'll be back on Tuesday. We'll all be here on January 2nd to kick off the new year. Hancock and Kelly, Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you. Happy to have our buddy Dave Murray with us as well. Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Hello. I would have bet money you were coming back with a bump of ragtime music.
That would have been great.
Some wild and crazy guys.
Hey, Dave Murray, tell John Hancock what you like to listen to every once in a while.
Every once in a while, I like a little Metallica, a little Rob Zombie. Every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, I can see you and Rob Zombie all cozy up, banging your head on the wall.
We had dinner just the other night.
John, did you know that Dave agreed to go to a concert with me?
Is that right?
He doesn't know it yet.
Oh.
But I'm getting the tickets, and I'm going to show up, and we're going to go to a Rob Zombie show.
Nice.
Would you guys like to go?
I'm really busy.
I wouldn't know a Rob Zombie song if you played one now.
If you heard it, that was a Netflix series.
If you heard the music,
you would know. You may not know the lyrics or whatever. Zombie. Yeah, you would know. You'd be like, I've heard that before.
Oh,
there are a couple of them that are. One of them is in one of the Matrix movies. They've been in stuff. You'd know it. Yeah. I'll play some for you during the break.
Oh, can't wait. How about that snow out there?
Yeah. We got a couple things we want to get to. We don't have headlines like we normally do because I'm a slacker and I'm not sharp enough to put that together. But yeah, you're right. It's holiday programming. I got a separate topic that all of us will kick around. But before we do that, tell us about the weather, Dave. Is anything changing? Are we still looking at the same things the way they were last week?
We're kind of looking at the same thing. We have the last impulse of wet snow coming behind our slow-moving low-pressure system. It will start to unfold as we get into the evening. I think probably can get to, if we're lucky, 8 o'clock this evening before the wet snow moves in. But it's dropping in from the north because we're on the backside of this circulation. So wet snow around later on this evening, all night long. By the time it comes to an end, we should see another half inch to an inch of sloppy wet snow on the grassy surfaces, parked cars, trees, things like that. There might be a little slush on the roads, but it'd have to be secondary kind of residential roads more than anything. We will get down to 32 degrees, but that's not until first thing in the morning, above freezing really most of the night. Tomorrow, the thing is really pulling away, but it's a cloudy, cold day, 39. Still a chance of a little bit of wet snow and a little bit of light rain mix, but I think it's fairly limited on Friday. Cloudy skies Friday night, then slow clearing. It's cold night, 28. Saturday, the whole holiday weekend is dry. Saturday, partly sunny, 45. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 30. Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy and 38 for the high. Sunday night, New Year's Eve, partly cloudy skies. Think temperatures kind of dropping through the 30s for evening plans. And about midnight, I think it will probably be about 30 degrees and 25 for the overnight low. New Year's Day, partly sunny, feels like winter, and 38 degrees. There continue to be strong signs that the month of January is going to be much more of a winter month than the month of December. Of course, December was not a winter month at all.
Could have been October.
It's looking like we'll have a couple shots of some snow and some pretty cold air.
Yeah, December felt like it could have been October this year.
Yes, on some days, absolutely.
Hey, Dave, we talked yesterday about the rivers being so low, and I went over them again this morning to Illinois. Are we in the Midwest in a drought right now?
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where as you get into the wintertime, you don't think about it very often because, well, the vegetation's kind of dormant for the most part. But if this continues, I don't think it's going to, but if it does continue, later on in January, we'll probably have to talk about, you know, maybe putting a slow drip on the evergreen trees, things like that, just to make sure the root system's okay.
There you
Good
go,
times.
Fellas. See, I was worried about your trees out in your yard there, Wheels.
They're dead.
Yeah. Well, that's because you need a slow drip, according
to...
My wife married one of those.
Yeah, I don't know what...
I was going to say, that's Wheeler's middle name.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to them, but a couple years ago, they just got all weird, and we had to cut them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were not big trees, though. They're relatively... like easy, like we could, you know, the guy comes in, it was nothing going to fall on the house, I guess, with the
point. Yeah, we are in a basically an old growth forest through St. Louis, and trees are dying, but it's of natural causes. It's of age more than anything. So if you do lose a tree, you should plant another one.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but from an agricultural standpoint, we need as much rain as possible, unless you're in the grapes business. This is like the best type of weather, right? The barely any rain?
I'm not a winemaker, so I...
Yeah, my understanding is the more you more you starve a grape of its juices, the more acid and sugars it makes.
But the grapes have got to get juicy. I mean, they're talking about California, the, you know, 2023 being one of the best vintages ever, and it's because it was wet last winter and into the spring.
Oh,
well, interesting.
There goes that.
Well, I guess I was wrong. You know how you go all on these wine tours and you
all
pretend.
All about latent heat.
Yeah, you pretend like you're some expert, you know, and they're teaching you things, and you're just like,
you should never pretend to be an expert.
I'm here for the samples. I'm not here to learn something.
They may have. You might have heard that. Might be like, it's good for the last 2 months or
maybe
whatever.
So, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about wine.
All right, I'm dying to hear about this marital
advice. All right. I'm going to run this by you guys. I saw this on Twitter, and I... This is intended. This tweet is intended. It is a tweet by a wife about her husband.
All right.
About something she says she helped him with, and this became a great relationship thing. Mm. And I think that's a lie, and I think going public with it actually undermines the message. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's pretty long, but I want to read a little bit of it, okay?
Right.
So it's a married couple. They have a couple of kids. One of their daughters is really into interior decorating. So for the holidays, she was going to be getting a new, like, kid-size couch to go in her room. Right. Mm-hmm. This was going to be a thing, like it was a big deal. She had pointed it out and was like begging for it, and they didn't commit to it, but they were going to surprise her with it. Right. So after the family was all done for the day, everybody's going to bed. The plan was that the husband was going to take the two sons, and they were going to go get this couch, sneak it into the house, and then eventually have it set up, you know, in the Christmas tree area. Well, according to the wife, he had forgotten about that. So he, when she reminded him of it, he looked like he wanted to pick a fight, according to her. So he said, well, why don't you and the boys go do it? The boys are strong enough. It's not very big. They can do it. And she said, this is her tweet. This is where I'm going to read a little bit of it. She said, now, I could have made him the jerk. She actually used the a-hole. But she said, I could have made him the jerk and done that, but I believe in the need to know thyself. So she said, yes, I could. But if you don't go and I go with the boys myself, I'll make up a story in my head about how much more I care about Christmas magic than you do. So I want you to go do this with me so I don't create this story in my head that would lead to me resenting you. And she presents this as her having done something really nice for her husband.
Hmm.
Crisis averted in her terms, that because he didn't want to go, she would have been then in her, this is her description. She's saying this. She's saying, if you don't go and do this,
I'm going to make you look like a,
in my mind, you're a jerk and you don't care about Christmas and I do. So to avoid that, you need to come with me and do this.
This is why I'm single.
Is this
manipulative nonsense that goes on to mess with each other with a person you're supposed to love?
I'm going to ask a question here.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's clearly fairly late at night. Was the husband aware that he had been drinking, and probably not the best thing to get in a car and go do this?
I don't think that alcohol had been involved. The family had been watching a movie together.
That's my story.
Yeah.
I think the wife was helpful here. And let me explain why. Let's play out the alternative scenario.
Right.
The husband comes home. They're all at home,
but he had
I forgot to get the couch.
He had already changed to go to bed. I've got my pajamas on.
Yeah. Sally's couch is over there. The wife says, "Well, honey, I'll go do it." And the husband says, "Oh, that would be great. Thank you so much."
Yeah.
Okay. That's how that would play out. The wife now goes. She is now boiling. Absolutely. That idiot forgot to get the couch.
She's admitting that.
And the fact that she gave voice to that and avoided that resentment is actually good, because most spouses in that case, if there's something I don't want to do, and my wife says, "Don't worry, sweetheart, I'll do it." For the first 30 years of our marriage, I said, "Okay, thank you," and thought nothing of it again. Well, then you hear about that thing for the next 7 years.
Yeah,
so now I realize that if there's something I don't want to do, she probably doesn't want to do it either. And if she says, "I'll do it," then I insist on doing it.
Yeah, see.
It takes a while to learn that.
There's a twist in this for me, because that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up.
Uh-huh.
Because the closing line was, she said, this is a good way that she looks at it. She said, "I need you to do this thing or I'll resent it." And
yes.
She presents that as a powerful understanding that both sides should have.
Yes.
I do not disagree with that.
Uh-huh.
I would like to know if I'm going to do something that's going to irritate you.
Right.
So then I can either
I can
either not do it, or I can make the conscious decision that I'm okay with the outcome.
Right.
But you put that on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You're saying you did a good thing for your husband, but you just outed him on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you told everybody that you manipulated him.
Hello. Marriage.
That's the part. Like, and it's a Twitter account that is not. It is not an anonymous account.
Right.
This is an actual person.
Yeah, right.
With like 8,000 followers who I'm not going to give it out there, but like, this is somebody that participates in.
Do you know this person?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't.
Okay.
The hardest language to interpret is a spouse saying yes or no. And because it's an interpretive comment. You've got to really start. And folks out there, if you're married. Well, yes, it does not always mean yes, and no, does not always mean
sure.
No.
Well, and those are trick answers to questions
they
typically,
can be.
Too.
Sure,
yeah.
they can be.
And the question is yes or no question. You probably ought not answer
it's
either
like,
yes
it's
or
like
no.
It's like standing on the old trap door. You never know when that latch is going to go.
Now, when it's working well, I would argue that I won't speak for John and Dave, but I'll speak for myself. It's working well. We're on 30 years. We're going great.
Yeah.
Because we don't play the games.
Yeah.
If something's going to bother one of us, we tell the other, "This is going to bother me."
Yeah, there you go.
And therefore, that honesty allows everybody to make conscious decisions. You're like, "All right, well, you know what? If the person I care about the most in the world is going to be bothered, all right, I'm not going to do that thing."
Exactly.
Right. Or even if I am, I understand her and she understands me, what will actually be a problem versus what will be a nothing burger, right? Like, all of that helps. But I don't think it helps to make your husband look like an idiot on Twitter.
No, you're good. You're good there.
Like, you're giving it relationship advice, and a lot of it actually makes sense. Communicate. Be honest.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is happening. But then you go on Twitter, and you're like, "Yeah, guess what? He was about to be a jerk, and I schooled him." That's not going to help.
No, that's like Will Smith's wife.
He's probably fine with it.
What's her name? Jada Pinkett type stuff.
That's a great example.
Yeah. Like, if I were him, none of the things that they had in their conversation would be bothersome to me.
Right.
It wouldn't be bothersome to me if my wife says, "Listen, I know you don't want to do this, but if you don't, it's going to bother me. Would you mind?" I don't mind that conversation at all.
Bingo.
That's a normal human conversation.
A good one.
But then if she went on Twitter and said, "Well, Kevin was an idiot and didn't want to do this, but then I played the game, and then he came around," you're basically telling the world, "I was going to be a jerk until you guilt trip me." That's what the message sounds like.
Mm.
That's the conversation needs to stay in-house.
Yeah, well.
That's how you communicate properly. You keep it in-house. The rest of the world doesn't need to know that. Right?
No. I'm with you. It's amazing what people will put online and tell them, you know what I mean? Somebody told me once that prisons are full of people who told on themselves. Twitter's given a lot of people a reason to go to prison.
Yeah.
Even just, marriage prison.
It just struck me as odd. You know, like the overall message is not a bad one. Maybe you use that one more in a third person, or you just, but like you're literally outing your husband, basically saying he was being a jerk about this. And I think it's a weird way to go about.
Well, how does he feel about this?
Well, I don't think we know.
I wonder if before she left and this was going to go down, she asked him, does this outfit make me look fat? And he answered improperly. Do you think that could have been what could have been the root cause of her?
She didn't point that out.
Oh. How do you answer that question, Wheels?
Well, my wife's
you
super skinny.
Beautiful.
So.
How's this outfit make
beautiful
you
beautiful in anything you wear?
It's Dave Murray.
I've never had to worry about it. My wife is like super skinny.
Did you hear what Murray got his wife for Christmas?
No, what'd you get, Dave?
I got sailing lessons.
Sailing lessons.
Yeah.
At first,
he's
I thought
be
you
a skipper.
At first, I thought you said saline, like saline solution. I'm like, what? Sailing? That's cool.
We're gonna learn how to sail, and not in a little boat. In a
that's
big
cool.
Boat.
In a big boat. Just don't put Ranji in the little boat next to it. That scares him. He has a thing. He's afraid of being in a small boat next to a big boat.
Ranji?
Yeah, it's a legit fear.
Well, you got to learn about the mast and the boom there, Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Got the jib.
You got the aft jib.
I've always wanted to know what
the course is quite amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think we will have it accomplished completely until the end of 2020.
Oh, wow, do you have a hard time getting on Creepcore Lake out there?
He's like, we got a little bit bigger body of water by us. Dave, enjoy some Metallica. Thanks. We'll talk
Happy
to you tomorrow.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Coming up on 3:35 on DGS, Dave and Rachel and Andrew all out. They'll be back on Tuesday. We'll all be here on January 2nd to kick off the new year. Hancock and Kelly, Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you. Happy to have our buddy Dave Murray with us as well. Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Hello. I would have bet money you were coming back with a bump of ragtime music.
That would have been great.
Some wild and crazy guys.
Hey, Dave Murray, tell John Hancock what you like to listen to every once in a while.
Every once in a while, I like a little Metallica, a little Rob Zombie. Every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, I can see you and Rob Zombie all cozy up, banging John, your head on the wall.
We had dinner just the other night.
John, did you know that Dave agreed to go to a concert with me?
Is that right?
He doesn't know it yet.
Oh.
But I'm getting the tickets, and I'm going to show up, and we're going to go to a Rob Zombie show.
Nice.
Would you guys like to go?
I'm really busy.
I wouldn't know a Rob Zombie song if you played one right now.
If you heard it,
that was that was that
if
you Netflix heard it, series.
If you heard the music,
you would know.
I would know it.
You may not know the lyrics or whatever. Zombie. Yeah, you right. would know it. You'd be like, I've heard that before.
Oh,
there are a couple of them that are. One of them is in one of the Matrix movies. They've been in stuff. You'd know it. Yeah. I'll play some for you during the break.
Oh, can't wait. How about that snow out there?
Yeah. We got a couple things we want to get to. We don't have headlines like we normally do because I'm a slacker and I'm not sharp enough to put
holiday.
That together. But yeah, you're right. It's holiday programming. I got a separate topic that all of us will kick around. But before we do that, tell us about the weather, Dave. Is anything changing? Are we still looking at the same things the way they were last week?
We're kind of looking at the same thing. We have the last impulse of wet snow coming behind our slow-moving low-pressure system. It will start to unfold as we get into the evening. I think probably can get to, if we're lucky, 8 o'clock this evening before the wet snow moves in. But it's dropping in from the north because we're on the backside of this circulation. So wet snow around later on this evening, all night long. By the time it comes to an end, we should see another half inch to an inch of sloppy wet snow on the grassy surfaces, parked cars, trees, things like that. There might be a little slush on the roads, but it'd have to be secondary kind of residential roads more than anything. We will get down to 32 degrees, but that's not until first thing in the morning. Above freezing really most of the night. Tomorrow the thing is really pulling away, but it's a cloudy, cold day, 39. Still a chance of a little bit of wet snow and a little bit of light rain mixed, but I think it's fairly limited on Friday. Cloudy skies Friday night, then slow clearing. It's cold night, 28. Saturday, the whole holiday weekend is dry. Saturday, partly sunny, 45. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 30. Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy and 38 for the high. Sunday night, New Year's Eve, partly cloudy skies. Think temperatures kind of dropping through the 30s for evening plans, and about midnight, I think it will probably be about 30 degrees and 25 for the overnight low. New Year's Day, partly sunny, feels like winter, and 38 degrees. There continue to be strong signs that the month of January is going to be much more of a winter month than the month of December. Of course, December was not a winter month at all.
Could have been
but,
October.
It's looking like we'll have a couple shots of some snow and some pretty cold air.
Yeah, December felt like it could have been October this year.
Yes, on some days, absolutely.
Hey, Dave, we talked yesterday about the rivers being so low, and I went over them again this morning to Illinois. Are we in the Midwest in a drought right now?
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where as you get into the wintertime, you don't think about it very often because, well, the vegetation's kind of dormant for the most part. But if this continues, I don't think it's going to, but if it does continue, later on in January, we'll probably have to talk about, you know, maybe putting a slow drip on the evergreen trees, things like that, just to make sure the root system's okay.
There you
good
go,
times.
Fellas. See, I was worried about your trees out in your yard there, Wheels.
They're dead.
Yeah. Well, that's because you need a slow drip, according
to...
My wife married one of those.
Yeah, I don't know what...
I was going to say, that's Wheeler's middle name.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to them, but a couple years ago, they just got all weird, and we had to cut them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were not big trees, though. They're relatively... like easy, like we could, you know, the guy comes in, it was nothing going to fall on the house, I guess, with the
point. Yeah, we are in a basically an old growth forest through St. Louis, and trees are dying, but it's of natural causes. It's of age more than anything. So if you do lose a tree, you should plant another one.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but from an agricultural standpoint, we need as much rain as possible, unless you're in the grapes business. This is like the best type of weather, right? The barely any rain.
I'm not a winemaker, so I...
Yeah, my understanding is the more you more you starve a grape of its juices, the more acid and sugars
but,
it makes.
But the grapes have got to get juicy. I mean, they're talking about California, that 2023 being one of the best vintages ever, and it's because it was wet last winter and into the spring.
Oh,
well, interesting.
There goes that.
Well, I guess I was wrong. You know how you go
all
on
about
these
latent
tours
heat.
And you
all
pretend,
about latent heat.
Yeah, you pretend like you're some expert, you know, and they're teaching you things, and you're just like,
you should never pretend to be an expert.
I'm here for the samples. I'm not here to learn something.
They may have. You might have heard that. Might be like it's good for the last 2 months or
maybe
whatever.
So, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about wine.
All right, I'm dying to hear about this marital.
All right. I'm going to run this by you guys. I saw this on Twitter, and I. This tweet is intended. It is a tweet by a wife about her husband.
All right.
About something she says she helped him with, and this became a great relationship thing. Mm. And I think that's a lie, and I think going public with it actually undermines the message. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's pretty long, but I want to read a little bit of it, okay?
All right.
So it's a married couple. They have a couple of kids. One of their daughters is really into interior decorating. So for the holidays, she was going to be getting a new, like, kid-size couch to go in her room. Right. Mm-hmm. This was going to be a thing, like it was a big deal. She had pointed it out and was like begging for it, and they didn't commit to it, but they were going to surprise her with it. Right. So after the family was all done for the day, everybody's going to bed. The plan was that the husband was going to take the two sons and they were going to go get this couch, sneak it into the house, and then eventually have it set up, you know, in the Christmas tree area. Well, according to the wife, he had forgotten about that. So when she reminded him of it, he looked like he wanted to pick a fight, according to her. So he said, well, why don't you and the boys go do it? The boys are strong enough. It's not very big. They can do it. And she said, this is where I'm going to read a little bit of it. She said, now I could have made him the jerk. She actually used the a-hole. But she said, I could have made him the jerk and done that, but I believe in the need to know thyself. So she said, yes, I could. But if you don't go and I go with the boys myself, I'll make up a story in my head about how much more I care about Christmas magic than you do. So I want you to go do this with me so I don't create this story in my head that would lead to me resenting you. And she presents this as her having done something really nice for her husband. Crisis averted in her terms, that because he didn't want to go, she would have been then in her, this is her description. She's saying this. She's saying, if you don't go and do this,
I'm going to make you look like a
in my mind, you're a jerk and you don't care about Christmas and I do. So to avoid that, you need to come with me and do this.
This is why I'm single. Is this manipulative nonsense that goes on to mess with each other with a person you're supposed to love?
I'm going to ask a question here.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's clearly fairly late at night. Was the husband aware that he had been drinking and probably not the best thing to get in a car and go do this?
I don't think that alcohol had been involved. The family had been watching a movie together.
That's my story.
Yeah.
So I think the wife was helpful here. And let me explain why. Let's play out the alternative scenario.
Right.
The husband comes home. No.
They're all at home, but I forgot
to get the
couch. He had already changed to go to bed. I've got my pajamas on.
Yeah. Sally's couch is over there. The wife says, "Well, honey, I'll go do it." And the husband says, "Oh, that would be great. Thank you so much."
Yeah.
Okay. That's how that would play out. The wife now goes. She is now boiling. Absolutely. That idiot forgot to get the couch.
She's admitting that.
And now, right. Yeah. And the fact that she gave voice to that and avoided that resentment is actually good, because most spouses in that case, if there's something I don't want to do and my wife says, "Don't worry, sweetheart, I'll do it." For the first 30 years of our marriage, I said, "Okay, thank you."
Mm-hmm.
And thought nothing of it again. Well, then you hear about that thing for the next 7 years.
Yeah,
that's right. So now I realize that if there's something I don't want to do, she probably doesn't want to do it either. And if she says, "I'll do it," then I insist on doing it.
Yeah, see.
It takes a while to learn that.
There's a twist in this for me, because that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up.
Uh-huh.
Because the closing line was, she said, this is a good way that she looks at it. She said, "I need you to do this thing or I'll resent it." And
yes.
She presents that as a powerful understanding that both sides should have.
Yes.
I do not disagree with that.
Uh-huh.
I would like to know if I'm going to do something that's going to irritate you.
Right.
So then I can either not do it, or I can make the conscious decision that I'm okay with the outcome.
Right.
But you put that on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
You're saying you did a good thing for your husband, but you just outed him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you told everybody that you manipulated him.
Hello, marriage.
That's the part. Like, and it's a Twitter account that is not. It is not an anonymous account.
Right.
This is an actual person.
Yeah, right.
With like 8,000 followers who I'm not going to give it out there, but like, this is somebody that participates in.
Do you know this person?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
The hardest language to interpret is a spouse saying yes or no. And because it's an interpretive comment. You've got to really start. And folks out there, if you're married. Well, yes, it does not always mean yes, and no, does not always mean
sure.
No.
Well, and those are trick answers to questions
they
typically,
can be.
Too.
Sure, yeah. they can be.
And the question is yes or no question. You probably ought not answer
it's
either
like,
yes
it's
or
like
no.
It's like standing on the old trap door. You never know when that latch is going to go.
Now, when it's working well, I would argue that I won't speak for John and Dave, but I'll speak for myself. It's working well. We're on 30 years. We're going great.
Yeah.
Because we don't play the games.
Yeah.
If something's going to bother one of us, we tell the other, "This is going to bother me."
Yeah, there you go.
And therefore, that honesty allows everybody to make conscious decisions. You're like, "All right, well, you know what? If the person I care about the most in the world is going to be bothered, all right, I'm not going to do that thing."
Exactly.
Right. Or even if I am, I understand her and she understands me, what will actually be a problem versus what will be a nothing burger, right? Like, all of that helps. But I don't think it helps to make your husband look like an idiot on Twitter.
No, you're good. You're good there.
Like, you're giving it relationship advice, and a lot of it actually makes sense. Communicate. Be honest.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is happening. But then you go on Twitter, and you're like, "Yeah, guess what? He was about to be a jerk, and I schooled him." That's not going to help.
Oh, that's like Will Smith's wife.
He's probably fine with it.
What's her name? Jada Pinkett type stuff.
That's a great example.
Yeah. Like, if I were him, none of the things that they had in their conversation would be bothersome to me.
Right.
It wouldn't be bothersome to me if my wife says, listen, I know you don't want to do this, but if you don't, it's going to bother me. Would you mind? I don't mind that conversation at all.
Bingo.
That's a normal human conversation.
A good one.
But then if she went on Twitter and said, well, Kevin was an idiot and didn't want to do this, but then I played the game and then he came around, you're basically telling the world I was going to be a jerk until you guilt trip me. That's what the message sounds like.
Hmm.
That's the conversation needs to stay in-house.
Yeah, well.
That's how you communicate properly. You keep it in-house. The rest of the world doesn't need to know that. Right?
I'm with you. It's amazing what people will put online and tell them. You know what I mean? Somebody told me once that prisons are full of people who told on themselves. Twitter's giving a lot of people a reason to go to prison.
Yeah.
Even marriage prison.
It just struck me as odd. You know, like the overall message is not a bad one. Maybe you use that one more in a third person or you just, but like you're literally outing your husband, basically saying he was being a jerk about this.
Hmm.
And I think it's a weird way to go about.
Well, how does he feel about this?
Well, I don't think we know.
I wonder if before she left and this was going to go down, she asked him, does this outfit make me look fat? And he answered improperly. Do you think that could have been what could have been the root cause of her?
She didn't point that out.
Oh. How do you answer that question, Wheels?
Well, my wife's super skinny.
Beautiful.
How's this outfit make
you look beautiful in anything you wear?
Dave Murray.
I've never had to worry about it. My wife is like super skinny.
Did you hear what Murray got his wife for Christmas?
No, what'd you get, Dave?
I got sailing lessons.
Sailing lessons.
Yeah. Yes.
At first,
he's
going to
be a skipper.
At first, I thought you said saline, like saline solution. I'm like, what? Sailing? That's cool.
We're going to learn how to sail, and not in a little boat.
In a big boat. Just don't put Ranji in the little boat next to it. That scares him. He has a thing. He's afraid of being in a small boat next to a big boat.
Ranji?
Yeah, it's a legit fear.
Well, you got to learn about the mast and the boom there, Murray.
Oh, yeah.
You got the aft.
I've always wanted to know what
the course is quite amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think we will have it accomplished completely until the end of 2020.
Oh, do you have a hard time getting on Creepcore Lake out there?
He's like, we got a little bit bigger body of warm water by us. Dave, enjoy some Metallica. Thanks. We'll talk
to
you tomorrow.
Happy New Year.
The voice of St. Louis. News that matters to you. KMOX.
So after the 4 o'clock news, we're going to bring in Howard Richards, talk a little Mizzou. Big bowl game for Mizzou.
Huge.
Really looking forward to this one. That's a big matchup.
Huge.
And if at the beginning of the year we had said this is going to be the scenario, people would have been like, oh, my God,
no
really?
Way. Yeah.
It's been a great year for Coach Drinkwitz and for the Missouri Tigers. We look forward to talking about the game with Howard Richards here coming up after the 4 o'clock news. That's the other thing I wanted to throw at you guys. Did you guys see the list of Barack Obama's favorite movies of the year?
I did not.
He posted it. It's not some secret. He posted it. And he's got a production company that's behind three of them. So he listed his movies. Like, okay, dude, that's a little bit much to me. Like, yeah, three of my favorite movies
are
my own.
How did he get into a production company?
I don't know. I just think they got money and they did that. But one of them was Leave the World Behind, which I described to you guys. And I think, are you guys going to go see? Are you guys going to watch that on Netflix?
I may check it out tonight.
It's worth it. It's not mind blowing. It's not award winning. It's not like an all time great, but it's solid.
Uh-huh.
It could have been better in a few ways, and I'll be curious to see what you guys think.
Thought provoking?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, there are things that could be better, but it's not a bad movie. Some people really hated it.
Oh.
And then some people loved it over the top, and I think both of those people are crazy. I think it's more right down the middle.
Well, like most things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be interested to see. But I was looking at this list of movies, and I only recognize two.
All right.
Did you ever hear the movie Rustin?
Rustin.
R-U-S-T-I-N?
No.
No.
How about American Symphony?
American Symphony. No.
How about, well, The Holdovers, I've heard of this. That's the Paul Giamatti
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I've heard about that
one. Oh, okay. Great actor.
Didn't see it, but I've at least heard yeah. of that one. Blackberry?
No.
You heard of that movie?
No.
American Fiction?
American Fiction.
No.
No.
Anatomy of a Fall?
Sounds familiar.
No.
Monster? Not the one with Charlize Theron from years ago.
Oh, well.
Sorry, Michael. Don't mean to, yeah, mean to disappoint.
She don't look too good in that movie, man. Remember
oh, really?
That movie?
Oh,
no, no. She plays a serial killer. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Charlize Theron plays yeah. a serial killer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like yeah. a real life one. Like it's a real person.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Past Lives movie. You hear that?
No, I haven't heard of it.
How about the movie called Air?
Yes.
You heard of it?
I watched it.
You did?
It's the one about Michael Jordan. Remember, it's the it one is? About the guy who comes up with the Nike.
Yeah. Okay. I did not. I did hear of it. Yeah. I did not see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all. That's the Nike story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's out there too. That had some advertising behind it.
Yeah, and yeah. I watched it. It was yeah. on during the Super Bowl. Was yeah. that okay? Right? They advertised it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good story.
Okay. Polite Society?
No.
Nope.
1001?
No.
Nope. Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean. So I'm like, I looked at this list. I'm like, oh, I've heard of three, actually four. Yeah.
I'm surprised Barbie thought, is not on
this is what I'm
Barack
saying.
Obama's list.
That's such a boring list.
Isn't it great to have somebody who's not out threatening to kill or start a race war or a former president who's acting like an adult?
Dude, throw an action movie in there. Throw at least one fun movie in there.
Well,
like,
you want him to say that he's into Batman or some superhero
it
nonsense?
It doesn't have to be superheroes, but there is other stuff.
This is an intellectual. This is not
That's
some,
my point. Yeah. That's boring.
That's what I want as president.
I don't think this was well, a yes, particularly good movie year, was it? 23?
It was not great, no. In part because a lot of things were held back from COVID right. And all that. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if anybody has fun.
I think you're searching for things to be irritated by.
It's not an irritation thing. It's just more of like, I'm not like that guy.
Well, no, we're
I'm
not.
I'm like, well, I mean, you might be.
No, I'm not like him. I mean, the guy's like a Rhodes Scholar. He was.
So Rhodes Scholars can't like fun?
Well, I think he's probably intellectual. First of all, I didn't see any of those movies, but if you put a gun to my head right now and said, name a movie besides Oppenheimer and Barbie that came out this year, prior to you saying that list, I couldn't have given you one.
Yeah. Really?
Same. Those are the only two movies I know because I know there were a bunch of superhero movies. I don't go. I'm not into
Why
it.
Do you not like superhero movies?
Because it's not a movie. I mean, it's fine. It's a cartoon or it's a live action cartoon, but that just doesn't do it for me.
It's a movie.
You know, it's like, you know, I don't know, some bad sport, you know, like camel racing. I don't want to watch that either.
I didn't know they raced.
What about games? Killers of the Flower Moon, maybe?
They'll race anything.
That's pretty big.
Now, I've heard
good.
Somebody said to me the other day that it was worth the 3-hour investment.
It was good. If it were 2 hours, it would have been better.
Yeah.
The voice of St. Louis. News that matters to you. KMOX.
So after the 4 o'clock news, we're going to bring in Howard Richards, talk a little Mizzou. Big bowl game for Mizzou.
Huge.
Really looking forward to this one. That's a big matchup.
Huge.
And if at the beginning of the year we had said this is going to be the scenario, people would have been like, oh, my God,
no
really?
Way. Yeah.
It's been a great year for Coach Drinkwitz and for the Missouri Tigers. We look forward to talking about the game with Howard Richards here coming up after the 4 o'clock news. That's the other thing I wanted to throw at you guys. Did you guys see the list of Barack Obama's favorite movies of the
I did.
Year.
I did not.
He posted it. It's not some secret. He posted it. And he's got a production company that's behind three of them. So he listed his movies. Like, okay, dude, that's a little bit much to me. Like, yeah, three of my favorite movies
How
are my own.
How did he get into a production company?
I don't know. I just think they got money and they did that. But one of them was Leave the World Behind, which I described to you guys. And I think, mm-hmm. Are you guys going to go see? Are you guys going to watch that on Netflix?
I will. Yeah. I may check it out tonight.
It's worth it. It's not mind-blowing. It's not award-winning. It's not like an all-time great, but it's solid. Uh-huh. It could have been better in a few ways, and I'll be curious to see what you guys think.
Thought-provoking?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, uh-huh. it, there are things that could be better, but it's not a bad movie. Some people really hated it.
Oh.
And then some people loved it over the top, and I think both of those people are crazy. I think it's more right down the middle.
Oh, like most things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'll be interested to see. But I was looking at this list of movies, and I only recognized two.
All right.
Did you ever hear the movie Rustin?
Rustin.
R-U-S-T-I-N?
No.
No.
How about American Symphony?
American Symphony. No.
How about, well, The Holdovers, I've heard of this. That's the Paul Giamatti
Yeah,
movie.
I've heard about that
one. Okay. Great actor.
Didn't see it, but I've at least heard of that one. Blackberry?
No.
You heard of that movie?
No.
American Fiction.
American Fiction.
No.
No.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Sounds familiar.
No.
Monster. Not the one with Charlize Theron from years ago.
Oh, well.
Sorry, Michael. Don't mean to disappoint.
She don't look too good in that movie, man. Remember that movie?
Oh, no, no. She plays a serial killer. Eileen
Charlize
Ramos.
Theron plays a serial killer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a real life one. Like it's a real person.
Wow.
Yeah. Past Lives movie. Hear that?
No, I haven't heard of it.
How about the movie called Air?
Yes.
You heard of it?
I watched it.
You did?
It's the one about Michael Jordan. Remember, it's the one about the guy who comes up with the Nike.
Yeah. Okay. I did not hear of it. Yeah. I did not see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. That's the Nike story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That had some advertising behind it.
Yeah. And I watched it. It was on during the Super Bowl. Was that okay? Right? They advertised it. Uh-huh. Yeah. I thought it was a pretty good story.
Okay. Polite Society?
No.
Nope.
1001?
No.
Nope. Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm like, I looked at this list. I'm like, oh, I've heard of three, actually four. Yeah.
I'm surprised Barbie is not on
this. Is what I'm
Barack
saying.
Barack Obama's list.
That's such a boring list.
Isn't it great to have somebody who's not out threatening to kill or start a race war or a former president who's acting
come
like
on,
an adult?
Dude, throw an action movie in there. Throw at least one fun movie in there.
Well,
like,
you want him to say that he's into Batman or some superhero
it
nonsense?
It doesn't have to be superheroes, but there is other stuff.
This is an intellectual. This is not
That's
some,
my point. Yeah. That's boring.
That's what I want as president.
I don't think this was particularly good movie year, was it? 23?
It was not great, in part because a lot of things were held back from COVID and all that. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if anybody has fun.
I think you're searching for things to be irritated by.
It's not an irritation thing. It's just more of like, I'm not like that guy.
Well, no, we're
not. I mean, you might be.
No, I'm not like him. I mean, the guy's like a Rhodes Scholar.
So Rhodes Scholars can't like fun?
Well, I think he's probably intellectual. First of all, I didn't see any of those movies, but if you put a gun to my head right now and said, name a movie besides Oppenheimer and Barbie that came out this year, prior to you saying that list, I couldn't have given you one.
Yeah. Really?
Those are the only two movies I know because I know there were a bunch of superhero movies. I don't go. I'm not into
it. Why do you not like superhero movies?
Because it's not a movie. I mean, it's fine. It's a cartoon or it's a live action cartoon, but that just doesn't do it for me.
It's a movie.
You know, it's like, I don't know, some bad sport, you know, like camel racing. I don't want to watch that either.
I didn't know they raced.
What about Killers of the Flower Moon, maybe?
They'll race anything.
That's pretty big.
Now, I've heard
good.
Somebody said to me the other day that it was worth the 3-hour investment.
It was good. If it were 2 hours, it would have been better.
Yeah.